Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 1st, 2020, from James Island. I'm back in a closet, folks. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features the latest data on our exponential explosion of COVID-19 cases, thoughts from Governor Henry McMaster, what the second half of the year may look like economically, key insights from Dr. Anthony Fauci, and how much money could the U.S. economy save if we had a national mask mandate? Take a guess, and we'll let you know in our business roundup. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail with your name, where you're calling from, and a message at 803-563-7169. Just tell us what's going on in your world. What are your plans for July 4th? No firework displays, so what are you going to be lighting on fire? Safely. Tell us what else is going on in your world, especially if you've had any experiences with COVID-19 directly, at 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 759 deaths, and currently there are 37,809 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of July 1st at 4 p.m. And some more data. We had our daily high record of new cases on Tuesday with 1,741. Wednesday marked a new high for hospitalizations, with 1,160 hospital beds occupied by patients who have either tested positive or are under investigation for COVID-19. And on Wednesday, we reached a grave new milestone with the highest single-day death rate at 24 South Carolinians who died from COVID-19. So a lot of places have been passing their own mask ordinances and people have been asking about it. So we have compiled a list of those, as far as we know, that have passed ordinances. And they are as follows: Beaufort, Charleston, Clemson, Columbia, Edisto Beach, Folly Beach, Greenville, Hilton Head Island, Isle of Palms, Kiowa, Mount Pleasant, Newberry, North Myrtle Beach, Spartanburg, Sullivan's Island, Sumter, and Walterboro. Colleton County also has an ordinance in place. I hope I didn't miss any of these, but you know, there are a lot of municipalities out there, and we'll keep updated as we as this continues to go forward. And Myrtle Beach City Council is discussing an ordinance on July 2nd. Now, restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Some require masks just at grocery stores and pharmacies. Others include other places. So the easiest thing you can do to remember this is to, say it with me now, wear your mask everywhere you go when you go out. Ooh. There you go. The more you know, folks. State health officials are recommending that South Carolina residents celebrate the upcoming July 4th holiday at home in an effort to help slow the spread of the coronavirus. DHEC's Dr. Joan Duvey noted the rapid spread of the virus across the state and urged residents to plan activities at home and help save lives. Governor McMaster told South Carolina Public Radio's Russ McKinney that DHEC's recommendation was prudent.
Well, I think everyone needs to be prudent. It is, we know that when people get together, that the disease spreads. It can be by coughing, sneezing, but we've learned in the last few months just by breathing, if someone has a disease, they may not even know they have it, but when they exhale or cough, cough, sneeze, sing, shout, engage in animated conversation. If they have that disease, it will go into the air, and if it goes into someone else's lungs, then they stand a good chance of being very, very sick. And if they're older or have weaknesses in their system, they might die.
While McMaster said that he's not considering closing South Carolina's beaches, something municipalities have the power to do, he did vaguely reference that other mandates could come in the future.
Everything is under discussion. We're going to be meeting with some of the team today to discuss the current situation in the future. It's clear we're in as we have been all along, in a dangerous situation with a very dangerous disease that spreads easily, particularly from younger people, that is 35 and below, the statistics show, can have the disease and not even know it, not have any symptoms or feel any sort of limitation at all. But on the other hand, the older generation or generations are quite susceptible to it, to the worst consequences of the disease, but because of the weakened immune systems. So one of the keys is to be sure to keep that spread from happening between those two groups. But we are limited in what we can do by the Constitution and by practicalities.
And just so you know, we did tape this part before Governor's press conference on Wednesday. So we will see what the future holds as cases continue to skyrocket exponentially higher than when the state was shut down. Now we got some economic news for you. European Union countries reopened their borders to non-essential travelers on July 1st. But Americans didn't make the cut. The Council of the EU said since the spread of COVID-19 is not controlled in the United States, Americans cannot visit any of its 27 member countries unless they are in transit or for a handful of other reasons. A list of these eligible countries will be reviewed every 2 weeks, but you're not going on any European vacation this summer so far, folks. So, how much money do you think a national mask mandate would save our economy? A couple billion dollars or so? Well, new research from Goldman Sachs suggests a national mask mandate would slow the growth rate of new coronavirus infections and prevent a 5% or $1 trillion GDP loss caused by additional lockdown measures. This according to Forbes. The researchers estimate that a national mandate would increase the portion of people wearing masks by 15 percentage points and cut the daily growth rate of new cases by 1 percentage point to 0.6%. So you know what you need to do? Say it with me. Wear your mask when you go out. Oh, it's like a PBS kids show at this point. So we're about 4 months into this pandemic and the economic upheaval it's caused. We're also now in the second half of the year, which, side note, always seems to bum me up for reasons unknown. I think it stems from the fact that my birthday is around this time and would usually signal a few more weeks until back to school. Pens. That being said, sorry, where is our state heading in the second half of this year? Well, Mike Switzer of the South Carolina Business Review spoke with Joey Von Nessen, who's the chief economist at the Darla Moore School of Business at USC, about this. And Mike opened by asking Joey about how the state was positioned pre-COVID-19.
Well, the economy had been doing very well, both the U.S. economy and South Carolina's economy, up until about February of this year. So in 2019, consistent employment growth of about 2% per year and an unemployment rate that hovered right around 3%. And it was actually at 3.2% headed into March of 2020. And what we've seen in the last 3 months is unemployment rise to 12.5%. And the three major sectors that have been hit hardest are leisure and hospitalities. Manufacturing has been number two, and then healthcare number three.
Does this virus situation, we're still peaking, is this causing some worry from an economist's point of view that we won't be exiting this economic crisis anytime soon in South Carolina?
Yes. The numbers that we talked about already reflect the initial round of layoff activity. About 30% of those job losses were recovered between April and May as the economy reopened. But the spike in cases can mitigate some of that momentum. If we look at what I call the social hangover effect, consumers are more fearful or more concerned about going out into public. frequenting businesses, spending money, and so forth. And then, of course, they're also going to be responding to the changes in how the medical community advises what they say and how they respond to changes in the number of new cases. And then, of course, the consumer, how the consumer responds as well. Those are not independent. They act together, but those are ultimately the two variables that we're watching.
As an economist, what are some tips that you can give to the small business listeners right now?
Well, I think the main thing is that consumers right now are worried about their safety. And so businesses, I think the number one thing they need to be focused on is what can they do to change their operating processes to make their customers and to make their clients feel more comfortable and to feel safe interacting with them and engaging with them so that they don't have to worry about getting sick. Because that social hangover effect is very important. Consumer confidence really is going to be a key driver for this recovery. And the more businesses can do to put their customers at ease, the more likely they're going to be able to see a rise in demand faster, and the more likely they're going to be able to attract those customers. So any process that can aid that, I think, would be the number one recommendation for businesses of any stripe, but particularly the small business right now.
The norm is to keep an eye on competition, keep an eye on market trends, economic trends. And now it seems like their focus should be on healthcare trends. Would that also be your recommendation, that they make sure that they are watching these trends that are going on here with healthcare?
Yes, I think that's fair. The other major factor I think that all businesses and the public at large needs to be watching to gauge how we see economic recovery and what that momentum looks like this summer is bankruptcy rates, particularly corporate bankruptcy rates. Because if we look at the stimulus money that has been provided to businesses in the form, especially of the payroll protection program, and as they use those dollars up and they have to begin to rely on market demand exclusively, some of them will survive, and unfortunately, some of them won't. And we hope that most of them will, but the bankruptcy rate will give us a sense of how quickly we will recover.
Also, be on the lookout for June unemployment numbers on Thursday. Just a reminder, May unemployment was at 13.3%, which was down from April's record 14.7%. So we'll see what June holds, and we'll recap it for you on Saturday's pod. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, testified Tuesday before a Senate committee. With new cases totaling 40,000 a day and people flouting critical containment precautions, Fauci says things will only get worse while speaking with Senator Elizabeth Warren.
If you look at what's going on and just look at some of the film clips that you've seen of people congregating, often without masks, of being in crowds and jumping over and avoiding and not paying attention to the guidelines that we very carefully put out, we're going to continue to be in a lot of trouble. And there's going to be a lot of hurt if that does not stop.
And that gets back. Okay, so if we don't get our act together, more and more communities around the country are going to see these dangerous surges of COVID-19. Dr. Fauci, back in March, you also said, quote, looking at what we're seeing now, you expected there to be between 100,000 and 200,000 coronavirus deaths and millions of infections in the U.S. So let's flash forward to late June. Here we are at the end of June. We've already seen 126,000 deaths with infection rates rising rapidly. Dr. Fauci, based on what you're seeing now, how many COVID-19 deaths and infections should America expect before this is all over?
I can't make an accurate prediction, but it is going to be very disturbing. I will guarantee you that, because when you have an outbreak in one part of the country, even though in other parts of the country they're doing well, they are vulnerable. I made that point very clearly last week at a press conference. We can't just focus on those areas that are having the surge. It puts the entire country at risk. We are now having 40 plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around. And so I am very concerned.
And here's Senator Rand Paul, who he himself has recovered from COVID-19 And here he is after pontificating for more than 5 minutes, and what can be summed up in his quote that, quote, we shouldn't presume that a group of experts somehow knows what's best, quote.
All I hear, Dr. Fauci, is we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't play baseball. Well, even that's not based on the science. I mean, flu season peaks in February. We don't know that COVID's going to be like the flu season. It might, but we don't know that. But we wouldn't ban school in October. You might close some schools when they get the flu. We need to not be so presumptuous that we know everything. But my question to you is, can't you give us a little bit more on schools that we can get back to school, that there's a great deal of evidence, and it's actually good evidence that kids aren't transmitting this. It's rare. And the kids are staying healthy, and that, yes, we can open our schools.
Mr. Chairman, do I have a little bit of time to...
Will I give you a little that was well that. Over 5 minutes, but we'll...
Thank you, Senator
go ahead and
Paul.
Please answer the question.
Yeah, so very quickly, Senator Paul, I agree with a lot of what you say about, you know, this idea about people having to put their opinions out without data. And sometimes you have to make extrapolations because you're in a position where you need to at least give some sort of recommendation. But if you were listening, and I think you were, to my opening statement and my response to one of the questions, I feel very strongly we need to do whatever we can to get the children back to school. So I think we are in lock agreement with that. The other thing that I'd like to clarify very briefly is that when things get in the press of what I supposedly said, I didn't say. I never said we can't play a certain sport. What happens is that people in the sport industry, they could either be people from Players Association, owners, people involved in the health of the players, ask me opinions regarding certain facts about the spread of the virus, what the dynamics are. I give it. And then it gets interpreted that I'm saying you can't play this sport or you can't play that sport. I agree with you. I am completely unqualified to tell you whether you can play a sport or not. The only thing that I can do is, to the best of my ability, give you the facts and the evidence associated with what I know about this outbreak. Thank you.
As of now, schools in South Carolina will be open this fall, so plenty of optimism there, especially for parents. And now for some pessimism, also known as reality these days. Initial findings by the Korean Centers for Disease Control found that herd immunity for COVID-19 is wishful thinking. This after analyzing international and domestic data. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you a medical professional on the front line of this pandemic, or just working somewhere where you're on the front line? Have you been tested? Did you have COVID-19? This is a judgment-free zone. Let us know your experience at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and just what's going on in your world or some experiences you've been having during these past 4 months of the pandemic at 803-563-7169. You might just get on the pod. Now, that being said, AT, do we have any new voicemails?
We do. We have a new caller. She double-dipped today, so we're going to get a double dose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Roll the tapes.
Roll the tapes.
Hi, this is Eunice Leimacher. I live in Clemson, South Carolina. Clemson passed an ordinance for mask wearing for 60 days starting this past Thursday. I salute the city council people. They did a lot of research. We're looking at the water, COVID levels in the water. Doctors testified, and the city council decided unanimously to wear masks. We've seen recently quite an uptick in the amount of people that are wearing masks, as well as the number of people getting tested. I work at a Coney Memorial, and there is a line out front where people are waiting to get tested, and there's more people at the pop-up clinic. So I'm glad those are available. I'm glad people are wearing masks. I think it's important to wear masks to take care of each other and to take care of our whole state. My opinion is that people are looking at South Carolina from other states and saying, do I want a vacation there? I'm not sure they're handling this responsibly. And I would really support the state house and the Senate and the governor asking for a mask requirement statewide so that people can see our numbers go down and that they'll want to come here. This is going to affect our economy for years. Let's all wear masks, wash our hands, and so on.
Oh, Una, it's great to hear from you, especially from Clemson.
Bap. I said she double dipped.
Oh,
we're going again.
Give me the take two. Take two.
Hey, this is Eunice Waymacher again. I appreciate y'all reporting on the stuff about Greenville and Columbia and the big towns, but I'm just curious if you'd list the number of small towns that have also passed ordinances like Clemson. If you'd list that, that'd be cool. Or the percentage of towns that have done it in South Carolina, I'd be interested in that. Thanks. Bye.
Again, Eunice, great to hear from you in Clemson. Yes, we listed those small towns up in the earlier part of the section of the podcast, in the politics section, because I kind of knew that you called and we kind of looked into it. So listed all those up there. And of course, like we said, it's growing more and more each day, each week also. So doesn't look like we'll have a statewide mask mandate anytime soon. But it is interesting to hear about those lines out and about in the places you visited and more people wearing masks and taking care of each other and our state, like you said. So that's what's that phrase that we hear during disasters? Neighbors helping neighbors right there. So more of that. And I think we'll be in a better position, especially, again, $1 trillion if we had a nationwide mask mandate would be saved in the economy. But, you know, now it's up to everyone else to do their own thing. So we leave it in your hands. That being said, AT, what's in your hands right now?
What's in my hands? Nothing in my hands.
Do you have any hot takes in those hands?
I got hot takes, yeah. Oh, so Gavin wanted me to open up a hot take, yeah. A can of hot take on you people. So one of my hot takes is I'm not saying these things are bad, okay? Hear me out here. These things aren't bad, but I think bacon and cheese are stupid flavors. And I think they have the potential. I think, so this is how I explain it, all right? So I think when people don't know what to do with cooking, they throw bacon and cheese on it,
sure.
And they're just like, it's good. It's good.
Oh, my God. Well, I just think they're cooking. They're not as inclined culinarily. So they're just like, everyone likes bacon. Everyone likes cheese. You know, most people. Boom. Right? So that's, yeah. It's not a hack. It's just a cheap trick.
I don't like burgers with cheese on them.
Oh, Jesus.
I know that I'm wrong there, though.
Yeah.
I know I'm wrong.
That's just like, but I mean, the whole take goes out the window at this point.
No, I know. I mean, it's a hot take, so I know that I lose credibility from the start. So, but I think like a bacon-wrapped filet is like the worst thing in the world.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not entirely.
I think it's terrible.
My only issue with bacon-wrapped filets, and this is just like, welcome to the 1% corner, folks. The 1% corner. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
What? Say it.
I don't like when it's wrapped, the bacon wrapped. I would prefer if you're going to put bacon on a beautiful steak, you might as well just actually cook the bacon separately because it just comes out better. The bacon wrapped, it always just like, it's a horrible
bacon.
It's a gross.
Bacon is gross on it.
Trash.
And then the steak just tastes like bacon.
Yeah.
And so it's like the dumbest thing in the world.
Like, what am I doing here? I would rather have a bacon side.
And then there are those, there, if you're on Instagram and Instagram knows you like food, they show you these
Instagram
videos of
knows.
Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Of cheese getting poured on
everywhere,
things. And just
yeah.
like they cook a meal and then they cover it in this unctuous cheese waterfall. And it's disgusting to me. Like it's like food porn in the wrong way to me.
Yeah, it's just cheese porn at that point. I
don't like that. I mean, no kink shaming, but no,
there is this one
I'm not there for it.
There's this one account that I follow, Chef Club TV on Instagram, and it's like a French cooking channel, but it's really funny and clever and like animated, and they do a good job with like different dishes. You're like, oh, I might make that, even though I don't know, I can't speak French, but I can maybe try to get it translated. Anyway, they are always pouring cheese.
I feel like
things.
We could. I think we could speak French if we
en
wanted
français.
To. Yeah, they just pour the cheese on it. I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. My favorite cheese is Parmesan cheese. It's not a cheese that
with
you,
the
you
chips.
Put like tons up. Yeah.
There's one video I'm looking at right now. They have a hot dog in a circle, and then they have a on a flatbread with cheese. I don't even know. The French, man. Who can even say it?
But duck fat on everything. The cheese, I can get down with
that. I think before we get out of this, because it's so much the process, I agree with you about the cheese and bacon flavoring. Like when if you're getting one of those weird Lay's potato chips flavored things, but I wouldn't want cheese and bacon flavored chips per se. I mean, I could probably eat a bag of them because I can eat a bag of
So you don't
any
like Doritos is what you're saying?
No, Doritos don't taste like bacon and cheese.
Well, they're super cheesy Doritos. I mean, they do just taste like MSG triangles.
I would just eat, delicious. I can eat any bag of Doritos pretty much all day.
Any bag, anywhere, anytime.
Anytime, you just name it, give me the bag. Original preferred, Cool Ranch if I'm in the mood. But
Cool Ranch is best, I think. I don't think so. I just disagreed with myself right there. The original is the best one.
You don't know what to believe anymore.
Cheese. They don't taste like cheese. They taste like MSG. That's what MSG tastes
like. And I
also
want to preface that you're also anti-cheese because you're lactose intolerant. So you're already like
at
this.
I'm a very intolerant man. I'm lactose intolerant. But
I mean, you love pizza. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But
that's what I'm saying. I think that as a lactose intolerant person, my eyes are, there's no wool pulled over my eyes by big cheese. You know, like I like cheese more purely than other people, I think.
Well, this podcast is sponsored in part by big cheese. So you better watch your mouth.
You better watch your mouth. The cheddar Alliance is going to come after us.
We're thigh deep in cheese on this pod.
They're gonna sink me in the river with my foot in cheese blocks.
Okay. Oh god, it's not easy being cheesy. Chester cheese, right there, folks. Anyway, tell us what you think about AT's incredible hot takes there. Tell us what you're going to be doing on July 4th. If you're going to be having a bacon cheeseburger yourself, doesn't that sound good, folks? Brought to you by Big Cheese and Big Pork. Mmm, that's tasty. And any hot takes that you might have, you know, we're always here for them. 803-563-7169. I don't have any hot takes because I'm always
on the
right side.
You're completely acceptable all the time.
I'm completely tolerant of everything except the fact of bacon and cheese. But let us know. Let us know what you're doing for July 4th. If you're sending off any fireworks, if you're going to any drive-ins, what you're doing. And you can always keep up with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. You can download the ETV app, and we can come with you wherever you go, along with the NPR One app. We love those apps. Also, don't forget to subscribe to your local newspapers, and also consider becoming a member of the ETV Endowment. We are here for you, bringing you great coverage, quality programming, 24/7. Check it out on SCETV.org. Also, we are always here for you, our lead community, as we go through this COVID-19 pandemic together. We're in full-scale hashtag lead, laugh, love mode. Like I said, together. And it's not just a phrase, it's a lifestyle, folks. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Siri. Dust cane.
Siri.
Dust cane. Siri.
Sharknado Sahara Desert.
Siri, can you Google Sharknado real?
Sharknado. Siri, Google Jaws real?
Sharknado true? Question mark? Google.